This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
With regard to Israel, it's not just the border. It's Democrats are weak on Israel as well, and it's their support for Israel. And it's rather stunning to us that there's this dramatic shift. Hamas is holding more than 130 hostages, as you know, including Americans, and these people are languishing at the hands of barbaric terrorists, and Joe Biden is, meanwhile, giving ultimatums to Israel, not Hamas. And shamefully, since October 7th, Joe Biden has transformed into an anti-Israel president. There's really no other way to characterize it. He's more concerned, seemingly, with placating the anti-Semitism in his base than standing with our historic and vitally important ally. And it's not just the White House. No one has forgotten, of course, that Chuck Schumer did the unthinkable by opining on and meddling in Israel's elected leadership. I mean, it's just, these are unthinkable developments.
I love that soundbite. That is the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, yesterday. I had the chance to hang out a little bit with Mike Johnson when the great congressman out of Long Island, Anthony D'Esposito, invited me to the State of the Union, me and Danielle. And the night of the event of the actual speech where I was ejected, says who, there was a party before. And the speaker, Mike Johnson, threw the party right outside his beautiful, lavish office in the People's House. And he was great. I spoke to him a couple of times, and he's right about everything he just said, although Biden yesterday, with this latest threat coming from Iran, Biden says, we got you back, Israel, don't you worry. I mean, he sends so many mixed messages. He's such a dickhead, he's impossible to figure out. He is just absolutely awful. So I'm wearing a T-shirt today that says, New York stands with Israel. I've worn this before. And there's a big, beautiful flag. Harry and Pat made these. There's a big, beautiful flag, half American flag, half Israeli flag. Then I'm wearing my Israeli dog tags. And then over that, because it's a little chilly, I'm wearing a sweatshirt, a black sweatshirt with white lettering that reads JNS.org. This was a gift given to me and Justin when we were in Jerusalem by our dear friend, the CEO of JNS, Alex Trayman. So all the way back here in New York City today on a rainy Friday, Alex, I know you're in Jerusalem, I am wearing the JNS sweatshirt. How exciting is that for you?
Well, I am, I'm blushing over
it. I actually like it. It's a very comfortable, and the material is very, very nice, and I like the black. It looks very, very good. So let's
keep pushing it. We're going to have to put them on sale.
I love this sweatshirt. Well, let's get right to the matter at hand, and that is they're saying now, the news is saying, I'm not sure you guys are saying it too, you'll tell me, the news here is saying that Iran may in fact be leveling this attack on your country in the next 2 days. They've limited now to the next 2 days, with Shabbos just about underway, a couple of hours away in Israel. Are you guys buying into that? Are Israelis walking around nervous, or is it business as usual?
Well, you know, as you've said, it's basically on top of the international headlines right now that Iran is going to attack Israel in the next 24 to 48 hours. From everything that I can see here, you know, Israelis are not losing too much sleep over these headlines. There have been, you know, our kids were told to bring their books home from school in case there would have to be remote learning for a period of time. But I don't really see Israelis rushing the supermarkets or taking any really added precautions.
You know, what's funny about you guys, and this is part of the reason why I love you guys and every interview I've done since October the 7th, and I'm still doing interviews, still. It's how amazing the trip was. People keep asking me all the time. It doesn't seem like anything really scares you guys. I mean, certainly October 7th scared you, but all these threats, I mean, a week after the major attack, you had that global jihad Friday, and there have been attacks since. There have been terrorist attacks even in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, but it doesn't seem like you guys are fazed by much. Is that fair to say?
Well, it's definitely a very resilient society. You know, we've also been frazzled over and over again, and we want to keep going. So we don't freeze up, you know, in tension every time there's there's a stress. You know, in fact, the opposite. Israelis, they rush to the scene of a fire. They don't run away from it. So, you know, that's something very special and unique about the Israeli society. But with regard to these headlines, you know, there's a lot of bluster. And sometimes, you know, in this region, the more talk there is, the less action that people think there's going to be.
It's funny you say that. There's a very, very famous scene in the movie Goodfellas. And the late, great, what was his name again? He played Henry Hill. Liotta. Ray Liotta is about to pull out of the driveway. He's got cocaine on his way to Pittsburgh or something, I forget. And the window gets rolled down, and there's a gun in his face. It may have been Bo Dietl who actually had the gun. And he actually says, because he now read the whole movie, he knew he was going to live, you know, because they don't publicize what they're going to do if they're going to kill you. And I guess you're kind of saying the same thing, right? If they're going to keep talking about all these global jihad days and we're coming to get you, then odds are they won't do it.
Yeah, it's hard to know what they're going to do. We're reading reports also that the United States sending signals that they do expect some kind of Iranian retaliation, but not big enough that it would draw Washington into some kind of a war. So you actually wonder if the United States and Iran are talking and know what precise retaliation that the U.S. would accept from Iran, from them doing some kind of limited retaliation. It's an uncomfortable feeling to know that that the United States has been funding Iran and supporting Iran and maybe even talking to Iran now in the middle of the war. But, you know, Israelis, we're just going to roll with the punches here, and we're going to have to see what happens. But, you know, Israel's also made big threats. If we're going to get struck from Iran, believe me, this country is going to hit back, and it's going to hit back very hard.
Wait a second. Did you just say, or at least intimate, that you think the United States may be somewhat complicit, that they're talking to Iran, Iran, whatever you want to call it, that they may even know what they're going to do? And I ask you that because, well, as far-fetched as it seems, it's not. It's not far-fetched. And we do talk to Iran. We talk to them probably more than you guys would like. So my question is, do you think that may be the case? And are you alone? Or are there other folks in Israel that think the United States may be okay with some type of minimal Iran retaliation?
This is what I'm reading in various media reports, that the U.S. officials are saying that they believe that any Iranian response won't be large enough in this case to draw Iran to draw the United States into a war, meaning that they expect there to be a limited Iranian response, potentially from proxies or others, but they don't expect it to come from the regime itself, from Iran proper. And so therefore you do get the sense that, you know, whether they're talking, colluding, have intelligence, that they're not expecting there to be a major reaction, even as they're broadcasting that they think there will be a reaction. So there's definitely things going on here that we don't know. I think that's been the real mood of the last 2 weeks here since we heard about Israel's pullout of many of its battalions from Gaza. There's a lot taking place under the surface, a lot of diplomatic moves and talking and considerations, many of which are not being completely transparent in the public eye. We don't know what's going to happen, but certainly a feeling that the United States is threatening Israel and not laying down harsh ultimatums on Israel's enemies.
Well, Biden did say yesterday, and there's been nobody more critical, nobody, me and Levin, that's it, Monday, October the 9th, I keep bringing it up because it's true, nobody more critical than Biden, who no matter what anybody says, has never been pro-Israel, ever. That stupid thing he said on Fox News, I told you then it was stupid, but he did come out yesterday and say that he's got your backs. You're not impressed?
Well, you know, he said very clearly in the beginning of the war that they had Israel's back. They sent out the aircraft carriers here very early on in the war. And there is a feeling that part of saying that they have our backs and sent the aircraft carrier was to prevent Israel from striking at Hezbollah. If Israel would think that Iran was about to strike it directly, as part of Israeli military doctrine, which really demands very swift and decisive victory, a big component of that is preemptive strike. And so part of having the United States come out and Biden saying to Israel, we have your back, is them saying to Israel, we don't want you to do anything that we don't want you to do. So please know that we have your back because we don't want you to feel like you're on your own. Because if you do feel like you're on your own, then we know what you're going to do. And that might, could be a preemptive strike inside Iran itself.
Wow. Alex Trayman, JNS.org. That's the best place, the only place to get your news, Israel Hamas, every day in Jerusalem. You know, I've also been reading that we know, of course, the wars in the south, Gaza. We know about the Iranian influence up in the north with Hezbollah. And, you know, folks, some folks know what's going on in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. I call it, too. But what I've been reading is that in this upcoming attack, if it does, in fact, happen, that it's going to be maybe in some of the cities that you don't want to get attacked, basically. Have you been reading the same thing?
Well, we know that for years that Iran has been not just smuggling weapons into southern Lebanon, you know, via this land bridge, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon. That's Hezbollah's, all their weapons come from Iran. But we continue to read more and more about weapons that are being smuggled into Judea and Samaria via Jordan. We've seen the proliferation of RPGs, improvised explosive devices, and assault rifles, you know, in Judea and Samaria. You know, 10 years ago, we would have attacks here in Jerusalem. We had what was called the stabbing intifada, where people would do car rammings with their cars, or they would take their kitchen knives and try to kill as many Jews as they can. And you can kill a lot of people like that, but it's somewhat limited. When you have assault rifles, you know, that really ups the game. Yeah. And we've seen the mass distribution of these weapons throughout Judea and Samaria, including there was an incident less than a year ago in which Israel arrested a member of Jordanian parliament that was coming across with diplomatic immunity, and they realized that he had been smuggling hundreds and hundreds of assault rifles and every trip that he was making into Israel, and a lot of this equipment originates in Iran.
I actually did visit Judea and Samaria on one of my tours, as you know, Alex, when I came to visit you. And it wasn't that far from Jerusalem, what, about 40 minutes? I mean, you live right there. One of the things about your apartment that I remember very, very well was walking out to your terrace on that beautiful Shabbos evening and seeing very, very closely Jordan right across the water. And you're surrounded, your area, by Arabs. I mean, surrounded by them. And you live basically right there, yes?
I'm looking at it right now as we speak. Yeah, you can see Jordan in the distance, but really right across the road, we have the Arab villages of Tur Baher, Umm Lisun, Jabal Mukaber. There are 250,000 Arabs live contiguously in the eastern section of the city. I live right on the seam line, actually right next to the U.S. Embassy here. And, you know, we are not fighting an enemy that is far away. We are fighting an enemy that is in our midst. And is proliferating weapons and inciting the violence against us.
Now, the 250,000 Arabs that live right next to you, and if I'm correct, there's only about 60,000 of us, right?
No, in Jerusalem, there's a city.
No. I mean in your neighborhood, in and around your neighborhood.
I mean, this neighborhood is about 20,000 people, but it's contiguous with other neighborhoods. You know, we're connected to the western side of the city. It's a city of a million people, let's say 700,000 to 800,000 Jews and others living in the western sections of the city, and about 250,000 living in the eastern sections of the city.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm just curious, if I was still there with Justin and we were making our way, which I really wish I was, I really miss you guys. I really miss Israel. I miss you guys. It has become far and away my favorite place in the world. It's not even close, not even close. So if we were on the way right now to your studios in central Jerusalem, would we see more police on the street, more IDF on the street because of these latest threats?
No, you wouldn't know. If you weren't reading the news, you wouldn't feel any difference from the time when you were here.
Wow. That is unbelievable. Just business as usual. Give me the latest on Bibi. Again, these protests. You told me a couple of days ago they were there before, and there were thousands before. And you've had five elections over the last 5 years, of which Bibi's won four and very nearly won all five. It's been a couple of days since we've spoken about Netanyahu. Anything change?
I think there is a little bit of a change in the last couple of weeks. Once it was announced that Israel was slowing down on the offensive in Gaza and pivoting more towards these targeted operations, taking several battalions out of the Strip. And, you know, from before that happened, you know, the left wing that has been anti-Netanyahu for years already and has wanted him out of office, they'd already started up with the protests. But the right wing in this country felt that you needed Netanyahu in place, because if you had a more left-wing leader, be it a Benny Gantz or somebody else, that they would capitulate to what the U.S. wanted to see. And then Netanyahu would be the one that would stand up to America in the face of all this diplomatic pressure. But now what the people on the right are seeing, wait a second, Netanyahu also seems to be capitulating to some of the pressure. So right now, I think Netanyahu is in a very tough spot. It does feel a little bit like he's lost some momentum here. It feels like Israel has lost some momentum in this war, but the war is certainly not over. Never count Netanyahu out. He's definitely the most seasoned politician in Israel and perhaps the most talented, but he's going to have to get control of the narrative once again and get Israel back on the path where the majority of the country feels like Israel is winning the war.
Well, on the way out, Justin keeps asking me, you know, all the folks in your office, Avia, Josh, who did the story on me, I guess Jeff, he was the one wearing the Cubs hat. Who was the guy that brought us all that falafel that Thursday?
Oh, that was Dove, yeah.
Dove, is it fair to say that those people miss us desperately?
Oh, we miss you. We miss you. We hope that you come back soon. That was the best week of the year was when you were broadcasting in Jerusalem.
Well, thank you. And I think I'll see you first, probably, hopefully, in New York in May. But at the very least, my plan is to go back October the 7th to commemorate 1 year. If not before, I keep trying to convince Danielle to go to Netanya or Haifa, one of these beach places during the summer. But certainly October the 7th, we will be back. At any rate, Alex Trayman, I love you, and I mean that sincerely. Have yourself a good Shabbos. Thank you again for another great report. Stay safe these next few days, and we'll talk again next week. Thank you so much.
Sid, love you too, and I hope that you're going to be coming to celebrate a tremendous victory.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Alex. That's the great Alex Trayman. And, folks, I'm going to say it again. You want news on Israel, there's only one place. Forget about the Jerusalem Post. Forget about it. JNS.org. JNS.org.